Well, welcome to the annual Evident Life Church Tour. Some of you are like, whoa, I didn't know this was going to happen. I know. Check this out. You have come the second Sunday of January, and this is when we do our annual Evident Life Church Tour. It's where we're going to explore our past, where we're going to look at God's calling and the mission that He has for this church, and we're also going to look forward to our future as a church family. And I always start every one of these messages that we do once a year with this statement that at Evident Life Church, we believe in using GPS, God's positioning system. What is God's positioning system? It's His Word. The lamp to our feet, the light to our path. It's the Word of God. And it's the voice of the Holy Spirit that guides and directs us as a church family. So we look to GPS when we're looking to journey forward into what God has for us and who He's called us to be. God's positioning system. So I want to begin our tour by briefly exploring our past. We want to rejoice in what God has already done. So you ready to look back? You know what? There's sometimes it's not so good to look back. You know what I'm saying? Sins as far as east is from the west, He sees them no more. Sometimes you don't want to look back at that. You want to move forward into being the redeemed, right? But there are other times when you want to look back because it builds your faith. And it reminds you of the goodness of God as you're journeying forward. So let's look back to our past. Evident Life Church, we were officially launched on September 13th, 2009. September 13th, 2009, that's over 7 years ago. We began to officially meet. We started in my living room, but that's another story. That was our Wednesday night prayer gatherings that kind of got things going. But as we officially launched, we began meeting on September 13th in the Southeast Regional Library, which I call the Gilbert Library because it's in Gilbert, and I love Gilbert, so it's the Gilbert Library in my books. And we began meeting in there. It's a great meeting room, a great facility. We met on Sunday afternoon because we couldn't use it on Sunday mornings. And if y'all were there, you remember that it would happen about 15 minutes into the sermon every single Sunday afternoon. There would be a message on the loudspeaker for the entire library that would say, "The library is closing in 15 minutes. And they'd say a few other things. Man, I'm preaching, and this would happen every single Sunday. And we tried everything we could do. We asked them, "Would you please just turn it off in this room? We know that you're closing, but we're still going." They couldn't turn it off in just one room in the library. And so we made contraptions with foam and all of this stuff to try to cover up the speakers on Sunday afternoons in that room. And we could not get rid of that announcement. And so I said, "Church, we're going to look back at that. We're going to smile. We're going to laugh. We're going to love it. And we're going to call it the good old days." And that's really what it was. So what I want to do is, if you were part of Evident Life Church, if you joined the Evident Life Church family back at the library in those days, I want to ask you to stand up. Stand up. All right. Remain standing. Stay standing. Stay standing. Because everybody's going to be joining you here in just a little bit. Check this out. This is awesome. So then, after meeting in the library for several months, the Lord provided us with a permanent facility in the Gilbert Town Square, which is over at Gilbert Road and Warner, the second floor of a retail kind of environment. And about 7,000 square feet. It was a phenomenal facility for us. We moved in there Easter of 2010, and God did great things for 4 years in that facility. So if you joined the church family when we were in the Gilbert Town Square upper room facility, would you also stand up at this time? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Check out these pictures. Go to some of those pictures, by the way. Have pictures in there of our past. There's the library. Look at Jake. That's our worship leader. Now check him out. Look at Grant on the drums. He's just a little boy. Let's move on. Praise God. Praise God. Worshiping the Lord in the library. Keep going. And this is the Gilbert Town Square facility, the upper room facility. One more. Here's the group of people that this was taken the Sunday right before we moved out of that facility over here into this facility. So stay standing now, because on July of 2014, we officially moved in to the facility that we're sitting and standing in right here, right now, in the Heritage District, downtown Gilbert. And the Lord has purposefully planted us here. It's an area that Velvet and I prayer walked as we were planting the church. And the Lord was saying, this is where you need to be. We never dreamed. He actually meant like right here in the Heritage District of downtown. But that's what he meant. So he's planted us here on purpose for big God-sized purposes. And so if you joined the Evident Life Church family, even if this is your first time here today, why don't you stand up and let's just thank the Lord for where he's already brought us. Amen. Isn't God good? He is so good. From glory to glory. From library to this facility here, to our mission base here in downtown Gilbert. All right, you may be seated. But I want to warn you, you're going to be standing up a few more times this morning. This is an interactive message this morning. All right. So throughout these past 7 years, God has moved us, and he's moved in us, and he's moved through us as a church. At Evident Life Church, we have been blessed as we have experienced the powerful hand of God in and over our lives. We've seen so many people healed here in this church. Some have been healed just supernaturally during worship service. Others, as we pray for you, whether it's an altar call or you come up after the service to be prayed for, Wednesday night prayer, healing happening week in and week out as we gather together, anoint with oil in those services, lay hands on people and see God move. God's been moving. He's been providing for this church. He's providing for individuals in this church in supernatural, glorious, amazing ways. People have been delivered of addictions, of things that were taking them out, taking them down, destroying their lives and their entire families. Deliverance happening. Freedom happening. People getting saved and baptized here. We had to buy our own baptismal, our own baptistry. People getting saved and baptized here in the church. Lives restored because of God's love for people, for us. Because when his presence comes, transformation, change happens. Healing occurs. And so I want us to stand up again because is God worthy of our praise right now for the great things he's done? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your goodness, God, over these 7 years, God, for touching our lives, for healing us, Lord. The newness, God, you're so good, Lord. We glorify you, God, for all the good that you've done. You are good all the time. Amen? All right, you may be seated again. Stay warmed up. Stay warmed up. What has God done? The generosity of this church blows my mind. This church family is amazing. So many have been blessed by our church benevolence program. If you need to know more about that, you can go out online to the member page at Evident Life Church or evidentlife.org. So many people have been blessed by the benevolence. So many people have been blessed, several families, our whole church, by our adoption assistance program that has the ministry name of Evident Love, helping orphans and those children that need to find a home, that need to get connected into a family because that's the heart of God. And this church has generously given financially to assist those members of our church who are called to adopt children and bring them into their families. It's a beautiful thing. It's an amazing thing to be part of as a church family in Evident Life. So generous in that area. Also, the support financially and also having skin in the game and actually showing up and being part of what's happening in our state as it relates to pro-life issues and helping the crisis choice pregnancy centers save lives. And you've heard the statistics. In the past year, we've seen the abortion rate decrease in Arizona after so many decades of prayer and so much work and investment and love that's being shown in the state. The abortion rates have been decreasing by 1,500 babies a year over the past several years in this state. And this generous church has been part of it with your time and with your financial resources. It's beautiful. It's humbling. People have given to one another just on your own to one another. I mean, cars have been given. You've given cars to one another when people have had need. Places to stay. Whatever the need is, this church always shows up in generosity. Evident Life Church is also involved in helping the most needy in our community. You heard the announcement earlier as our iHelp program, where we're helping house and feed the homeless. We're working with other churches in our community to do that. In fact, Evident Life Church, when we came on board, we were the final church that allowed that program in our community to go 365 days a year, because we came in and we took Fridays. And this church, as we were blessed with this facility, the first thing we did, Sean, I was like, it's time, Sean, let's pull the trigger. It had been on his heart for over a year. Said, let's do it. We have the facility to open up now to serve the most needy in our community. And we're seeing those who used to be homeless actually part of our church family now. They have their own place to stay. They have a job. They're self-sufficient. They're glorifying God and even serving in this church family. That's how the kingdom of God works. And so we love others. We give to others. We help others in our community because God has plans for their lives. And his desire is that they would be fully alive in him and operating in the family of God. And it's happening right now. This church has also become an official partner with Open Arms, which is the food bank and the clothing center across the street from our church. It's catty corner to the church right over here. Some people say kitty corner, catty corner, potato, potato. It's right over there, and we're one of the churches that are involved in helping make sure people in our community that find themselves in situations where they need help. It may be a season, it may be a short season, it may be a long season where they need help and they just need some additional food, clothing, and resources. And churches in our community, including our church, we are actively involved in that. And this church family is very generous in that. We're also helping seniors in our community, those that are often forgotten. This church is coming alongside of, showing up, giving to our community. Our young people in this church, man, they're growing up. It's amazing, getting married and all that kind of stuff, and they're on fire for God. I mean, the young people in this church are engaged in the ministry of the kingdom in and through this church. You see them on Sunday mornings up here. You see them in different smaller group gatherings and Wednesday night as even the youth of this church are prophesying and declaring the word of God and laying hands on one another and praying. And we're seeing God move in wondrous, powerful, incredible ways through all of the generations of this church. It's beautiful. That's what God's been doing. That's what he is doing. And that's what he's going to continue to do in and through this church. Amen. We're also spreading the gospel and helping grow the church globally, worldwide. We're planting churches, and even we've helped grow a Christian school over in Ghana, Africa. Around the world, this church is having impact, sending missionaries. There's an Evident Life church in Ghana, Africa that met earlier today. Evident Life Church in Ghana. That's planted churches all around the region that we've been able to be part of. One of our elders, Carlos Valiente, and his family that are now missionaries full-time in Ethiopia. We have Phil Klein and his brother's family that's over in Indonesia that we've been part of that ministry, involved with him now for years. This church has already had big impact. Big impact. And someone once declared, Evident Life Church is outperforming its resources. What that means is that we're exceeding the impact that a church of our age and our size should be having. But this is the reality. When God's involved, it only takes a spark. It only takes a mustard seed. It only takes a willing church that's willing to step up and get his heart and step out in what God is doing. And big, big, even global impact can happen. And it's been happening in and through this church from day one. It's a glorious thing to watch. And I want to make sure that we're all aware what God is doing here and all around the world because of this faithful, loving, generous congregation. I'm blessed to be your pastor. I'm blessed to watch you at work. It's a glorious thing. So I want to do it again. I want us to stand up. And I want us to thank the Lord for the great things that he's done. Amen. Thank you, God. You're good. Above and beyond. Above and beyond what we could ever have imagined, God. God, your ways always work. They're good. They're big. You're a big God. You're a big God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I bless this congregation even right now. I'm not closing the service, just to let you know. But Lord, I bless this congregation right now, God. I bless them for their generosity. I bless them, God, for those who walk by faith and just go after your kingdom purposes and plans. Bless them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. I'm going to try to keep you down until the end of the service, all right? We good? Let's continue our tour. Let's continue our tour. We're reminded as we continue our tour also of our calling. What is God's mission and vision for Evident Life Church? We know that the greater body of Christ is made up of a whole bunch of parts, right, that have different purposes, that have different callings. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:14, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. God's church, many members, many expressions that are so beautiful. And it's when we allow the body to fulfill its purposes individually, and we celebrate those individual purposes, that we see the glory of the greater body of Christ at work in our world today. Instead of beating up other parts of the body, we celebrate and we encourage it. So understanding that the body of Christ is made up of many different parts, what part is Evident Life Church called to be? Who are we called to be? What's our calling? What's the vision that God has, the mission that He has for this particular part of His greater body in this world today? And to understand this, we're not without direction, because the Lord has spoken specific words over our church. Some of those words you can read in the lobby. There's some posters and banners and pictures and stuff in the lobby with some of the words the Lord's spoken over this church. And our mission statement at Evident Life is not the result of a corporate elder board brainstorming session where we get the whiteboard out and we start coming up with clever, you know, sayings and phrases and terms and words. Our mission statement's also not borrowed from another church fellowship. We didn't just go online and search for, you know, top 10 church mission statements, and that one looks good, and so does that, and we'll meld them together. That's not how it happened here. Rather, our mission statement and what the Lord's called us to has come from Him. It's come directly from the Lord for the Evident Life Church family. And here's our mission statement. It's what God has spoken over us. Evident Life Church is embracing Jesus' great commission by helping people encounter God's presence, belong to His family, and grow in His love, so that our town is transformed and our world is impacted for God's glory. That's the calling. That's the mission. That's the expression that God has given this church family. Now, while this mission statement wasn't delivered to us on stone tablets, you know what I'm saying, it still came straight from heaven, straight from God, straight from the heart of God for us. It came while in the place of prayer, while seeking the Lord, while crying out to Him and asking Him to guide us and direct us. And the Lord gave this word while in prayer, very, very clearly, very, very specifically, to this church. So our mission at Evident Life Church begins with encounter. How many of you realize that an encounter with God is impactful? Always is. Therefore, we're called to be a place where people will be encountering the presence of God. Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. The presence of God, encountering Him. That's our call, to help people encounter God. Furthermore, Jesus gave His life so that people could have relationship with God and belong to His family. And so we desire to be a place where people will belong to God's family. First of all, through a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't be part of the family of God. You can't just show up at a Sunday gathering and be part of the family of God. We only come into the family of God through a relationship, through salvation that comes only through Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. We want to be a place that's introducing the lost to Jesus so that they can come into the family of God. And we want to be a place that helps people, Christians, those who are born again, belong to the family, be engaged with the family of God, not be Lone Ranger Christians where they're getting picked off, where they're missing out on the glorious things that God wants to do and only does when the saints are gathered together. Read the New Testament, read the book of Acts. Nearly every single miraculous showing up of God happened when the saints were gathered together. We want to help people gather. We want to help people belong to His family. It says in Ephesians 2:19, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." We're members of God's family. We belong. Finally, God desires that His children would know the fullness of His love and grow up in His love. Understand His love. Grasp His love. Get filled and refilled and filled and refilled with the reality of His love, because His love is what transforms us. It always has and it always will. He wants us to be complete and mature in His love. Some people call this process discipleship, growing in the love of God. The Lord said, "Man, we just want to help people grow in My love." That's what God's saying for this church. It says in 1 Thessalonians 3:12, "May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you." So again, our mission is to help people encounter God's presence, belong to His family, and grow in His love. And from this mission, we continue to launch into our future. So where is God taking us? We've looked at our past, had you stand up about 25 times to rejoice in what God's done. We've looked at our calling. We've been reminded, if you've been through the first step and next step classes here at Evident Life, you've already heard our calling and our mission statement, a lot more detail than that. So we know our past, we know our calling, we've been reminded of that, but where is God taking us? What's next? Well, He's taking us into our future. And late last fall, during a Wednesday night prayer meeting, God gave us insight into what He has planned for us, the church, in this next season. This is what the Lord said to us that Wednesday night. He told us that He's moving us and calling us to influence. Very clearly and specifically highlighted that word to us, influence. To be a church that is influencing our community and our culture. It's no accident that He had us talking about our culture and how it's broken and our role to bring Christmas, to bring Christ into our culture when we were in the Advent season. It's because He was setting us up for this next season in our life here at Evident Life Church, a season where we are called to influence our culture and influence our community. So I did some research on influence. And here are some of the things that I found. The word influence occurs only once in the whole Bible. In fact, it's only found in the King James Version of the Bible in the book of Job, where God asks Job unanswerable questions. It's in Job 38:31. And here goes the Old English King James Version. Are you ready? He says, "Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion?" Now check this out. The Pleiades are a cluster of stars in the Taurus, one of the constellations of the heavens. And now today we know a lot about cloud computing, don't we? We know a lot about social media and how to interact with social media, and some of the younger generation knows about video games and all that. Some of the older generation does too, right? It was kind of invented in my day. We know all about that stuff, but the ancients, they understood the stars. They studied the stars. They talked about the galaxy and the stars. It was part of their conversation when they'd get together for lunch or dinner. They would talk about those kind of heavenly things. But you see, little is known about Pleiades, but the suggestion here is that they exert an influence, perhaps on other celestial bodies, perhaps upon the world, perhaps upon human life, and even the climate of this planet, of planet Earth. Whatever that influence is, it was thought of by this inspired writer of the book of Job that influence is some sort of powerful, benevolent, silent, irresistible influence that this body is having on other bodies in our galaxy. And so there's this beautiful idea in this passage of Job that for influence not only affecting heavenly bodies, but also affecting the lives of men, influencing one upon another. See, there is an influence and a power which goes forth from one life to another life. There just is. We influence one another. We influence those around us. And God has called us, His church, into a season, really a lifestyle of influence here at Evident Life Church. Our eyes are being opened that this is a season to understand your influence, to grab hold of your influence, to embrace the influence that I've given you in this world, and to walk in it for my glory. That's what God is saying to us, His church, today here at Evident Life. And yes, the word influence is only used once in Scripture, but we see the principle of influence. We see the evidence of the body of Christ being an influence in culture and in the world throughout Scripture. It's everywhere because it's God's plan for His church. That's why we're still here. That's why we're still here. To be an influence in our culture today. So what can influence look like? And what can it do? Let's look at some examples. You have the flavoring and preserving power of a godly influence. And we go to the Gospels for this. As Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. Now, how many of you know that salt influences things? It does. Provides a lot of flavor, I know that. I've talked to you about this before. I am a grilling legend. I can grill food. I just did it the other day for my family, and they all had big smiles on their face. They think I'm the most amazing man in the world. Thank you very much. And anyway, so my wife, she didn't want the ribs. She wanted a steak instead. And so I'm like, you got it, baby. I will grill you up a steak. And how many of you know steak is pretty good without any seasoning, without any salt? It's okay, but it's a whole lot better when you salt that baby up just right. I mean, when you just put the right amount of flavoring on that thing, the right amount of salt, that thing just begins to pop. It is so good. And so I took care of my wife, and I cooked her up. I grilled her up an amazing steak with some salt on it. You know what I mean? She liked it. She's like, move on, honey. So salt. We are called, the church is called, the people of God are called salt. We're called to be salt in the earth. Salt provides flavoring, and salt provides, it preserves things. We don't see that much anymore today, how salt preserves things. We have freezers and all that kind of stuff. But salt is a preserving agent. And we, the church, the people of God, are to be salt. We are called to bring the flavor of heaven to our culture today, to have that kind of influence. We're called to bring the influential preserving power of God to our culture that has been rotting away, and we're called to bring the flavor of heaven, to bring the presence of God, to bring that kind of influence and turn that which was rotting back into life for the glory of God. That's our calling as the people of God. I need an amen for that. Thank you. Because that's big. It's important that we understand that and that we come into agreement with it. What can influence look like? What can it do? There's also the saving power of a godly influence. Let's look at 1 Peter 2, verse 12. Now, he's writing this and speaking this over the church, so I want us to receive it now as the recipients of this word, even right now. As the Lord would say to us even, live such good lives among the pagans. That's our culture today. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that He visits us. Do you see the influence that the people of God have in our culture today amongst, as Scripture says here in Peter, the pagans, our culture today? That we can live in such a way That we can just be who we are, be the people of God, be little Christ, that's what a Christian is. Be ambassadors of Jesus, doing things differently, doing things God's way, loving people instead of abusing them and using them, serving them, caring for people, being patient with one another, loving in a way the world never gets to experience or encounter. Just being the people of God and the saving power of a godly influence, it will draw people to Jesus. It will draw people to their Savior, Jesus, because we are the church that's bringing the influence of the love of God into our community. It's our daily living. Can have that kind of influence and draw unbelievers to Jesus. So what can influence look like? What can influence do? There's also the encouraging power of a godly influence. You see, your zeal, our zeal, to be faithful and generous and loving and Christ-like will stir others up. My friend Don does that to me. We get together and the guy is just so full of zeal, Christ-likeness, love and compassion and so generous and faithful in his living that, man, I get together with my friend and I just go like, okay, let's go. Let's take the world for Jesus right now. And then I feel like I need to fast. And I'm like, man, I can't get together with that guy too often. I was walking away feeling like I shouldn't eat and I should fast. I mean, he's full of zeal. It's infectious. And it pushes me. It encourages me. It says in 2 Corinthians 9:12, and again, receive this word even right now for yourself. Let's receive it as a church. It says, for I know your eagerness to help. And I just talked about that. I know your eagerness to help. And I've been boasting about it to the Macedonians, to the Gilbertonians, to the Arizonans. Anyway, I've been boasting about it to the Macedonians, Paul says. Telling them that since last year, you and Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. The zeal of the people of God, the enthusiasm of the people of God to love like Jesus, to live like Jesus, will spur others on to take action for God's glory. We're called to be a church that's influencing our culture today. We've also got the evangelizing power of godly influence. Check out this example of a local church. It's found in 1 Thessalonians 1, beginning verse 8. It says, the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has become known everywhere. You hear that? Everywhere, all the way over in Ghana, Ethiopia, Indonesia, everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For they themselves, those people out there and everywhere, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Influence. The final one, we have the posthumous power of godly influence. You're saying, what's that? That's the influence that we have even after we're long gone. Even after we're dead, we've passed away. We can still have an influence on our culture and on history. Because that's the power of God that's worked through us. That's why it can happen. It says this in Hebrews 11, verse 4, that by faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. We're just looking at the second generation of mankind right here, right? Way back in the day. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. And by faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And then check this out. And by faith, he still speaks. Abel still speaks. His life still speaks. His influence still speaks, even though he is dead. He's having influence. Why? Because he had the heart of God. He knew the heart of God. And he offered up to God the acceptable sacrifice. He brought before the Lord what the Lord was due. He was a man of God. And the Lord used him as an influence in his time, but even to today. We're called to be the people of God. We're called to be the influence of God in our community and our culture today. This is the word of the Lord for this church right here and right now. And so God's call for us to intentionally move into a season, into a lifestyle of influence, also goes hand in hand with another word that he gave us. And y'all remember it. Be who you are. Say what you know and give what you have. I want to quickly tell the story again behind that. So I was invited to be on a committee and a commission by the mayor, the former mayor, John Lewis here in Gilbert. Great guy. You know what? Every once in a while he pops in to church here, kind of stands at the back and checks things out. So I was invited to be on this committee, this commission for mental health issues that are going on in the state. And I say yes because the Lord always told me to say yes. And so I said yes. I'm a yes man. All right, I'm a yes man. And so I said yes. And then it came the morning of the event, and I'm getting dressed. I'm thinking, I'm not going to go to that thing because I don't know anything about this. I don't know any of the buzzwords. I don't know any statistics. They're going to have all these professionals and politicians and people who have been talking about this and dealing with this now for decades, and I'm going to sound like an idiot in that room. I'm going to have nothing to offer, so I'm not going. I'm not going to embarrass myself or God or, you know, the church here in Gilbert. And the Lord said, whoa, Eric, you're going. I open the door. I want you in the room. I want you at the table. So I said, okay. He said, look, Eric, don't worry. I just want you to go be who you are, say what you know, and give what you have. So I put my suit back on, straightened up my tie, whole works, and I went to that meeting and had the opportunity just to be who I was, share what I know and give what I have, and just talk about how this church deals with people who find themselves in addiction, that finds themselves dealing with issues that are causing disorder in their lives, confusion in their lives, in their relationships and families, how the Christian church comes around their brothers and sisters and prays for them and lifts them up and walks with them through these things and turns to God, turns to Jesus for the answer, and how we're seeing deliverance happen, how we're seeing, I might not have said it exactly that way, you know what I'm saying? You got to speak the language of Babylon sometimes. And so I just shared with them the results, what God is doing in people's lives, and jaws were dropping because for whatever reason, I was the only one who brought real flesh and bones to the conversation of real lives being changed and impacted, and it glorified God because it all came back to Jesus. To Jesus. The calling to be influence in our community, in our culture, means that we just have to be who we are. Say what we know and give what we have. It means we have to be yes men and women who will show up at the meetings and at the tables and walk into the rooms that God has opened the doors for us to walk into. It may seem foolish. Why am I even going there? Why did I get appointed to be on the Police Officer Employment Commission? I've never been in law enforcement, neither have any of my relatives. Why am I sitting at the table? I don't know, but then God uses it for me to speak into other people's lives. So I just show up ignorant and unprepared, but I show up trusting that God has a purpose for me to be there, and God shows up. He shows up and he accomplishes what he desires to accomplish. Influence. Influence. So be who you are. And who are we? We're new creations in Christ. We've been redeemed. We're sons and daughters of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We've been set free. We're blessed. We are those who now do what Jesus did and even greater things. And people need you to show up because they need what you have. And they need to hear what you know. So we got to be who we are. We have to say what we know. And what do we know? We know Jesus. We know that He's the answer. I don't know about all those other programs to help people in those crisis situations, but I know prayer. I know coming before the God of creation, the God who loves that person and crying out and calling out the name of His Son Jesus over their lives and not writing them off, but walking through that situation with them, that God will show up. He's the answer. So we got to be there. We got to show up and we got to tell them what we know. Jesus is what they're looking for. We got to give them what we have. We got to give them Jesus. We got to give them love, because the world doesn't give love. They don't give love, not agape love, not unconditional love. We got to give them love, hope. We got to give them ourselves too. Ourselves. People need what we have. They need what we can give them. Continue to get to walk this out in faith, because it takes faith. It takes faith to show up, to be who you are, to say what you know, and give what you have, to be that godly influence in an antichrist culture that we have today. It takes faith. It takes courage. But God's given you all you need for this, all you need for life and godliness, all you need to be His instrument, His tool, His ambassador, the influence of heaven in our culture today. So this year, 2017, is a year that God wants us, His church, to intentionally operate in this godly sphere of influence. Being confident. Being confident in who we are in Christ. Being confident in sharing His name, His truth, and being confident in bringing His presence into every relationship and every room that we walk into. That's all it is. This is God's call for Evident Life Church. I want to invite the worship team to come back up, because I want us to end this morning with a statement of faith and a statement of agreement, coming alongside of and getting behind the Word of God. We sang it earlier that He is good. He is good. He is good. Has that influenced your life? Has the goodness of God influenced your life? Well, I believe the way that we can walk into being those who are influencing our community with the goodness of God is to once again come into agreement with that together. And let's stand up even right now and let's once again sing and declare the goodness of God. And as we do, we are asking the Lord that You would lead us and launch us into the season of influence, God. That You would lead us and launch us into the season of influence. Yes, Lord God.
You are good. Good, oh, You are good, good, oh, You are good, good, oh, You are good, good, oh, You are good.
Yes, Lord.
Good. Never gonna let me
go. God, we declare that You are good. That You've given us all we need.
Never gonna let
to be that godly influence in our community, in our culture today, God. That You're good, Lord God. Give us all we need.
You are good.
That You're goodness, God.
You
want this culture to be. What are we doing, God? God, we say that we will be.
Give
your hand.